but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
FT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights. In for John Canzano, here's Judah Newby with the bald-faced truth.
The NFC West is on my mind. When I wake up in the morning, I think, who's going to try to beat the Seahawks this year? Well, that's part of what I think about in the morning, but who's going to take down the Niners? Who's going to take down the Rams, reigning champs in the division? What to make of those guys and those pesky Cardinals, huh? Those pesky Arizona Cardinals. Everybody wants to put them in a category of up-and-coming teams like every year. Will this be the year for them? Got to do a vibe check with the Seahawks. And just a little bit ago, had a conversation with Stacy Rost, Seattle Sports co-host of Bump and Stacy, middays up there on 710 a.m. in the Seattle area. They do a great show, great work up there. The live from Seahawk training camp broadcasting today at the VMAC. And Stacy joining us now on the show after we had Michael Bumpus on earlier in the week, her co-host. Now Stacy making time. Stacy, great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. I popped inside. Practice is still underway for the Seahawks. Fans are in attendance. There's a peewee football team that got to greet the players when they ran onto the field. So the vibes are very fun, very hectic. Took a moment of silence, so to come inside.
I appreciate that, but it's a great reminder of what the Seahawks mean to the community, right? When everybody gets to come out and watch them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really do think that, like, one of the chief things we talked about during the season last year was, oh my God, opposing fans are like flooding the stadiums and blah. But training camp is still a very excitable thing. There's a ton of love for the Seahawks, obviously.
I had your co-host Michael Bumpus on earlier this week, and we were talking about that same thing, because that is a sticking point with me, that Lumen, the Lumen game day atmosphere and some of those big primetime games, Niners and Packers come to mind, and there were other ones where it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like that turn up to 11. So where do you come out on that, and what are your expectations this fall for that?
I mean, my ultimate take was probably a similar one that Bump had, which was like, look, if you only go root for your team when they're good, I hate to say it, but you may be a bandwagon fan. Like, you may not be aware of it, but I if you're getting off and then getting back on when they're good. But again, it was a discourse for weeks and weeks with people saying, oh, well, it's so expensive, and lots of fair reasons why it was really tricky. I think ultimately it boils down to you simply have not been as good as you once were. And so the excitement just dwindles, right? And that happens for any team in any city. You can have really loyal fans that are there, and there could be tens of thousands, but you aren't seen as a contender. You have not been to an NFC conference game in a while. And so when that happens, I might critique fans that say, well, if you win more, I'll show up. On the other hand, I do think this team needs to win more and needs to get to the postseason more consistently.
10 wins a season ago was not quite good enough. What a weird journey it was to 10 wins, though, Stacy. When you look back on 2024, you know, before totally casting the vision to 2025, what do you remember? What was kind of your big picture encapsulation of year one with Mike McDonald?
Heading into it, I mean, we were all told, and it's obvious, it's not a lie, that Mike McDonald is so brilliant, and wait until you see what this defense will do. So I think that I went in thinking, credit to our producer, Curtis Rogers, who noted this earlier in our show today. I went in thinking, okay, a lot of questions are settled on offense. You know who Geno is. You know who DK is. You know who Tyler is. You know most of these faces, except for your new offensive coordinator. What's the defense going to be? As it turns out, Mike McDonald's defense, it took a couple games to get there, but eventually became one of the better units in the last eight games of the season. They were top five in points allowed, or top five in yards, obviously limited. And the run game absolutely turned around. So there was a lot to love. pretty much that exact same unit is coming back this year. I had much higher expectations for the offense entering the season. And I think what we found very quickly is that Ryan Grubb, while he was a brilliant play caller with Washington, maybe wasn't completely compatible, not only with what Mike McDonald and Schneider want to do, but with the weapons they had. This was an offense that was pretty pass heavy, lots of dropbacks, shotgun, and your offensive line just couldn't hold up with that. And you saw moments where they would explore the run, do it really successfully, like against Arizona late in the season, and then not stick to it. And it would drive you crazy. So I thought the offense would be a little more run heavy, and it wasn't. And so this season I'm heading in with a slightly different expectation of what the offense will look like. And I have a feeling they'll stick to that identity a little more consistently.
It's so funny because when you're rooting for a team and invested in a team year over year, I notice in myself, you know, I've been rooting for the Seahawks for a while. You take on the personality of the team that you're rooting for in a way. And it's just different, Stacey, when you're rooting for a team that wants to run the football and wants to commit to that and has that as part of its kind of ethos and its identity. I'm waking out of bed now and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I have a higher foundation from which to work. I can trust myself again. You know, I root for a team that wants to run the football. What are your early thoughts on how kind of Seattle is operating with this, you know, run first scheme that Clint Kubiak's bringing to town?
I mean, it's hard. It's, again, we're entering day three, halfway through a practice now. So it sounds cliche and maybe not super insightful to say everything looks good. But I mean, the best thing you can say after 3 days of practice is like your running backs are healthy and your offensive line is healthy and looks solid so far. Your quarterbacks had maybe their best day of camp yesterday. Jalen certainly had his best day of camp yesterday. So far, the foundational pieces you'll need, Ken Walker, development for Gray Zabel along your offensive line, and obviously your quarterbacks, looks good. We're still waiting to see kind of, you know, what the rest of this offense will look like. And you're not going to know until the season starts. They're going to really start unloading those more intricate parts of the playbook and Clint Kubiak's scheme, you know, kind of as we get into the season, once they get into close practices. All we can say so far is it feels like they have the weapons to do what we know a Shanahan offense does. It doesn't mean they have the weapons that like the 49ers do now, but they didn't have the offensive line to just really lean into pass blocking and constantly lean into what they wanted to do getting down the field. It feels like they can really lean into that wide zone offense. They can lean into what Ken Walker does.
Is there a fullback on the field and committing to that position now?
We can't talk about formations and what they're doing. They do have a dedicated fullback in Robbie Oates, obviously drafted out of Bama, teammate of Jalen Milroe. They have Brady Russell, who was formerly a tight end, can play fullback. So they have a lot of weapons there. They have made it very clear, so I'm not saying anything they don't know. They've made it very clear that like they want to use that fullback. They need that fullback on the roster. That's something you'll recognize with that Shanahan wide zone scheme. I will say, speaking of how many they're using and the things they want to do without giving away things we're not allowed to, like formations, they are getting very creative. Bump and I talked about this with how they're utilizing guys, and Bump mentioned it, and I'll take the words from them that I think fans will really, really like some of the creativity that they're going to have with how they use some of these weapons.
So we can expect Brady Russell under center running a fly.
That's exactly right.
A fly yeah. Sweep to Robbie Oates or something.
Yeah, JSN being that sixth offensive lineman to come up and help out is the jumbo package.
It's all about creativity this point. Stacey Ross joining us, Bump and Stacey co-host on Seattle Sports. They were at the VMAC today broadcasting, and our guy Curtis Rogers was filling. I hear Curtis is looking macho and like David Beckham.
Oh my god,
that's amazing!
This was the highlight. So Curtis was in here with me earlier during the interview. I don't know if you guys heard him get out of his chair and leave and wave bye to you. But we had a listener text in and say that they thought Curtis Rogers, just only hearing him on the radio for years, that they thought that he would look like David Beckham. And I said, what? That's amazing. Yeah. He's on cloud nine. He's really feeling it.
He is. I mean, come on. It doesn't get better on a Friday than that. So you
Absolutely not.
You mentioned the Niners. Look, it's a week one, week 18 series with the Niners this year. Very, very bizarre. Now, as Seahawks fans and out here, like, I've got no problem kind of side-eyeing the Niners and just putting them in the bucket of, I expect them to fade a little bit and look a little receiver drama again and Odebo. But how do you kind of see the Niners right now? And boy, week one, right out of the gate.
Yeah, with the Niners, I kind of have like my brain and my gut in competing places where my brain tells me that this is a team that is basically in a rebuild. Like you said, they don't. Not only do they not have Debo, everyone's a little bit older. Christian McCaffrey struggled to stay healthy last year. You don't know exactly what he's going to be this year. You know that while they can be really successful and have a lot of talent, whether it's Trent Williams, Bosa, whoever it is, everyone is older. Everyone keeps, you know, eventually struggling with injuries. And another thing that kind of became common sentiment, not just about Shanahan, but just the scheme in general, is, look, you can't play from behind. Maybe you can't win the big game, whatever it is. So that's my brain telling me, like, they don't have these pieces, age and injury, and you know, everything will just come together and turn them into some kind of rebuild. My gut tells me it's the 49ers, and I've been hurt so many times. And much like the Rams last year when they were struggling early, I was like, I don't know that I can trust this slow start with LA. I don't. Sean McVay's brilliant. Kyle Shanahan is brilliant. And it is hard for me to fade them too quickly. I think it is by no means going to be an easy battle for Seattle in week one, who themselves have a ton to prove.
They really do. They really do. The other team in that mix in the division is Arizona, and I feel like people are trying to put them in the sneaky up-and-coming category. Is that how you feel?
I feel like people put them in the sneaky up-and-coming category because we otherwise don't know what to do with them. You know what I mean? We're like, we got to assign them something. So let's put them there.
Exactly.
It's also sneaky up-and-coming because I don't know a single person that could name more than like two or three Arizona Cardinals. Granted, Buda Baker, local favorite. You all know like Kyler, Marvin Harrison Jr. So they're getting there. They're adding talent. But God, they have to be one of just the unluckiest teams, with some of their best seasons have been when the rest of the division's just cooking. I tend to lean on history with this one, and until they, Gannon, and everyone can kind of prove it, I do have them as the fourth team in the NFC West. I think it'd be interesting to be wrong. I have right. No hate for the Cardinals. I think I just, fairly or not, I don't know what to make of Kyler Murray, who has a ton of potential but has never really taken that giant next step. And he'll show you a couple games where you go, oh, my God, what if this is going to be this season where he just breaks out and it happens? And then they just get passed in the division and it doesn't work. So I think until he shows that he can take that step and be everything we thought he could, I can't count on them to be anything more than fourth.
Stacey Ross, Seattle Sports, joining us from Seahawks training camp at the VMAC. This defense, I'm really excited about the Seahawks defense. I just love the year one to year two, get the right pieces in, got the right guy running the scheme. You know, I'm thinking maybe top five in scoring for an entire season. Obviously, that could be a little optimistic, but at the same time, how are they being talked about up there as far as early expectations?
I don't know how optimistic it is. It might be fair. I mean, it's not the best thing to just isolate sections of a season, but in the second half, this is after acquiring Jones, making some changes at linebacker, guys getting a little healthier, they were a top five offense in a couple of different categories. They finished as a top 10 offense in pressure and sacks. So defense. So I think because they've been struggling as a defense since basically 2017, you naturally go, I don't know. It feels like they can't get everything functioning at the same time. But they looked spectacular. They were one of the best defenses in football for the last 8 games of the season. And that's a fact. That's real. They have that same defense entering the season with that familiarity, that chemistry. And there are a lot of players to be individually really excited about. We've talked with Derek Hall, who went from doing basically nothing in his rookie season to making significantly more starts last year, was second on the team with 8 sacks. You've got Leonard Williams coming in here, familiar with this team. Ernest Jones gets his extension, gets a chance to have a full season with Seattle. There are so many pieces to like. They've added an incredibly versatile safety with Nicky Minwori. They have really underrated pieces like Kobe Bryant. And then they have pieces that everyone already knows about, like Devin Witherspoon, who I know he doesn't have the interception numbers, is one of their best athletes on this entire team. So I think it's fair to have really high expectations. And frankly, I don't think it's overly optimistic to think, could they be a top five group?
Devin Witherspoon, did I see that right? That he's already in the top 50 Seahawks of all time?
Yes. Yeah.
How we feel? How we feeling about that? That's cool, right? Or
cool. My take was it was a little premature.
Yeah.
he's still in his rookie contract. He's never had an extension or a second deal with Seattle. I think that he is one of their most talented players, and that talent is not only obvious, but the leadership and the personality is really obvious when he's out there. I mean, you stand on the sidelines, he's got to be one of their most confident players, and it shows. And I think personally, defenses are better with those kinds of players, like kind of cocky, loud, like funny players, like a personality on defense, I think genuinely makes you better. The Seahawks have a lot of love for this guy. For me, it was a little early to put him on there, but hey, you have every chance now to live up to it, and there's no reason to think he can't.
You know, I think about this from time to time too. I know where I come out, but is there any Jalen Carter conversation up there from time to time?
Yeah, from time. Oh, for sure. Jalen's had such an exceptional career with Philly, and importantly, has not run into trouble with Philly. And if your critique of not taking a clearly talented player at number five overall was going to be, oh, well, there's some character concerns, and then he doesn't have those concerns, you naturally go, well, why didn't you take him? What are you doing? It's helped that Devin Witherspoon has been so exceptional for them, has been a Pro Bowler. But yeah, I think still to this day, you know, a couple years removed, you still get people going, man, I'm looking at this Philly defensive line. And the thing I always say is, I think they took the best player for them. I'd love to have an elite defensive lineman here like Carter. But does Carter have the exact same career here with a growing defense as compared to a pretty polished defense with Philadelphia? I don't know. There's a lot of pieces around them to support him there.
I think the same thing. And to have a lot of college teammates with you, I think helps, right? Keep you in check.
Exactly. An incredibly different support system.
Yeah. Maybe I'm talking to myself, but I don't think he has the same type of career in Seattle as he does in Philly, but you know, that's a little predictable. Okay.
It's crazy. One of the things when we had on Devin Witherspoon's, I think it was his defensive coordinator from college, is someone said, like, you know, we're in the green room and the cameras at pick number five for Seattle are already kind of trained on Jalen. So when Devin was the pick, I don't know if like Devin wasn't expecting it, but even the camera operators at the draft were not expecting it to not be Jalen.
Couple last things for you. Thanks for your time, Stacey Ross, joining us on 750 The Game, Bald-Faced Truth. You mentioned Jalen Milroe. How are we feeling? I'm sure he's getting a lot of attention early.
He is. I was expecting more, seeing him run more, and you kind of have to remind yourself that training camps, OTAs, mini camps are not scrimmages. So you don't get to see someone improvise or be them their best self. They're running through the playbook. But I still was expecting, like, I'm going to see something from Milroe that's going to get people talking. Like, there will be some deep bomb down the sideline or a 40-yard run that makes people suddenly start talking about whether he should be the starter. I just thought, like, surely we will. And we hadn't seen any of it, really. I mean, he had looked fine, but it looked like a very clear-cut Darnold, Locke, Milroe situation. And I will say yesterday was his best day of camp. And yesterday was a day where you really started to see him showcase the arm, which was very cool. All three quarterbacks had a great day. So still a story, definitely. I don't think it ended up becoming the story we all thought it would, but the popular narrative at the time was, what if you've got another Russell Wilson situation where this rookie comes in and takes the job? I think it became clear a little earlier that, like, that's not going to be the case. So now what you're watching for is, well, what kind of dimension could he add to your offense? And that we don't know yet. We have not been seeing any special usage just yet. They're not showing us is what they're doing. They're not showing us that yet.
When you talk about Sam, I feel like confidence is so key with Sam Darnold. Is he looking confident early? I mean, I'm already playing amateur psychologist when I'm watching his press conferences, and
please do.
He comes right after. He's like, "Oh, what's up, guys? What's up? You know, it's good to be here. Good practice." Yeah. I'm like, "Ah, dude, you're trying too hard to be confident. I want a little bit more quieter confidence," which is such a nerdy thing to think about and point out. But Sam Darnold and confidence, Stacey. I'm sure that's a topic you guys have been kicking around so far. What do you expect out of him?
Well, I'll start by saying I kind of had the same vibe. His first press conference, and I hope that he never hears me say this, did not like impress me in terms of a personality. Like, he didn't command a room. There was a lot of likes. And I think he seems uncomfortable, and that's very, very normal. But what does it mean? Right? I do the same thing. You're trying to psychoanalyze people to figure out, like, is he ready for the moment? Can he handle it? Right. I think he's just a very chill person. And I do think that's genuine. I think that kind of, "Oh, hey, cool. Sounds good," is kind of how he is what I've gathered so far. So I'll add that to what you're saying, that I get it. I was doing the same thing, but I think the chill, laid back California attitude is very legit. My expectations are that he will not do what he did with Minnesota, but will be a great fit for this offense for now, is kind of how I see the Sam Darnold situation. It's probably not unlike a lot of fans do. And the point I always make is that I don't think Sam Darnold is the gamble the Seahawks made. I think the gamble John Schneider made is, "I'm going to fix the run in the offensive line. I'm going to make this a more complete offense." Like, that's the real gamble. I don't think they're counting on Sam Darnold being this 10-year franchise starter. It's cool if it happens. What they're counting on is, we really want to get back to this run first team. This is our identity. We're really gritty. We're tough, and we're complete. That's what they're hoping to do. So if Sam can complement that and be an important piece of it, fantastic. But there are different expectations for him than certainly there were on like a Russell Wilson in 2017. Like, these are very different expectations.
A few weeks ago, Pete Carroll came on your guys' morning show with Brock and Salk and dropped the bomb, the August 7th preseason opener. I don't think he was supposed to. He's squirrely. He's squirrely at times. He has fun. I mean, how much are you guys looking forward to that one? And Pete, back in town in the silver and black, what a year this is going to be.
Oh, my God. So they don't play in the regular season until next year. So we kind of get this ability to, like, watch and root for the Raiders. Most people I talk to are massive fans of Pete Carroll. A little more split on Geno. I think most people appreciated what he was. Some people are happy to move on to something else. Others think it was a massive mistake. But I think there will be many, many people in Seattle that, outside of a preseason game, we're going to be rooting for the Raiders. I think it'll be, I wish it was a regular season game, man. I'm going to be honest. I'm not expecting many snaps, if any, from Geno, which is a bummer because I'd love to see him against Seattle. But yeah, I mean, it'll be a warm welcome back. Pete and John have a fantastic relationship. Pete is beloved in this city. I think it'll be one of the most anticipated preseason games that I've maybe ever covered, which is crazy to think, but yeah.
Can't wait. You guys do a great show. Thanks so much for being generous with your time and popping on. Stacey Rost, at Stacey Rost on X, at Stacey Joe Rost on IG. Bumping Stacey 10-2 out there on Seattle Sports. Live from the VMAC today. Stacey, so generous with your time. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. Have a good one.
Coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll talk to Kyle Madsen about all things 49ers. So if you're a Niner fan driving around out there, like, "Oh my goodness, so much Seahawk talk." We'll settle in into the Niners side of all of this. Week 1, Week 18, Hawks, Niners, bookending the regular season. Kyle Madsen does great work down there at Sacramento Sports 1320. Also host of the Candlestick Chronicles podcast on the Blue Wire Network and USA Today Network as well. Judah Newby in on the Bald-Faced Truth, 750 The Game, BFT Radio Network. Some big news out of college football to get to. Some more reaction to the Josh Naylor trade to the Mariners. What does that mean for Seattle's playoff push? A lot more in front of us here on a Friday show here on 750 The Game in the BFT Radio Network.